Okay, our third study in the book of Lamentation brings us to Lamentations chapter 3. A lot of verses in this chapter, 66, and we begin in verse 1. Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. In chapter 3, verse 1, the prophet Jeremiah says, I am the man who has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. God uses his stick, as it were, to punish and train his people. And that is what Jeremiah has witnessed and continues to witness here in verse 1. Verse 2, he has led me and made me walk in darkness and not in light. Well, the Israelites walked in darkness. They walked in sin. That was their choice. And God gave them their desires. When one walks according to their own flesh, when one walks contrary to God, they are walking in darkness. 3. Surely he has turned his hand against me time and time again throughout the day. Well, God is never against us, but he is always against our sin. When he punishes us, it's not because he doesn't love us. It's because he does love us. He's not against us. 4. He has aged my flesh and my skin and broken my bones. Sin and the resulting wrath of God has taken a physical toll on Jeremiah and, no doubt, on the entire nation. Verse 5. He has besieged me and surrounded me with bitterness and woe. God gave them worry, God gave them trouble. They could have avoided all of that bad if they had stayed in the moral will of God, but again, they chose not to. 6. He has set me in dark places like the dead of long ago. Well, the dark places here means the grave. The ones who were not dead in Israel certainly felt like they were dead. Their life as they knew it was over. Verse 7. He has hedged me in so that I cannot get out. He has made my chain heavy. They are trapped in the wrath of God. They cannot escape their just punishment. Verse 8. Even when I cry and shout, he shuts out my prayer. Well, God doesn't listen to the prayers of the damned. God doesn't always answer the prayers for mercy prayed by those who continual sin has gotten them into hot water either. Verse 9. He has blocked my ways with hewn stone. He has made my paths crooked. God loves his people enough to not allow them to avoid the lessons that he wants to teach them, though those lessons be very painful ones. Verse 10. He has been to me like a bear lying in wait, like a lion in ambush. He has turned aside my ways and torn me in pieces. He has made me desolate. He has bent his bow and set me up as a target for the arrow. He has caused the arrows of his quiver to pierce my loins. I have become the ridicule of all my people, and their taunting song all the day. He has filled me with bitterness. He has made me drink wormwood. Wormwood is bitterness. It means bitter. 16. He has also broken my teeth with gravel and covered me with ashes. You have moved my soul far from peace. I have forgotten prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope have perished from the Lord. Remember my affliction and roaming, the wormwood and the gall. My soul still remembers and sinks within me. When we sin, we should remember that we have offended God. When we sin, we should think about how bad we are and how good God is. And that realization is the first step in the right direction. 21. This I recalled to my mind, therefore I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. The initial shock of God's punishment and the self-pity that went with it seems to be wearing off. They're starting to think straight. They are starting to understand that as bad as things are, their sins deserve even worse punishment. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, verse 22 says, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. And this is a big step. Trusting in God's justice and mercy in the midst of suffering, you know, even when it's suffering our just punishment, trusting in God's mercy, trusting in his justice, is a good thing. 25. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. It's good to hope in God while one is suffering hard times because of their sin. It's even better to learn to obey God while you're young and avoid the suffering due to sin altogether. Verse 28. Let him sit alone and keep silent, because God has laid it on him. Sometimes the best thing we can do in God's presence is just be quiet. He cannot talk to us, and we certainly cannot hear him if we're always talking, making noise. 29. Let him put his mouth in the dust. There may yet be hope. Putting your mouth in the dust means to humble oneself before God. That's the only chance anyone has of getting anywhere with God. 30. Let him give his cheek to the one who strikes him and be full of reproach. Accept bad treatment from others without striking back. That would be a sign of humility also. 31. For the Lord will not cast off forever. Yeah, God lets his people suffer for their sins. If they learn their lesson and return to him, then God will welcome them back. 32. Though he causes grief, yet he will show compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. Sometimes God lets his people feel sad by punishing them but he will also be kind to them if and when they repent. 33. For he does not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. God doesn't enjoy making his rebellious people suffer. 34. To crush under his feet all the prisoners of the earth, to turn aside the justice due a man before the face of the Most High, or subvert a man in his cause the Lord does not approve. There were several things which caused God to punish Israel. Among them are the things mentioned here: cruelty, injustice. Verse 37, who is he who speaks and it comes to pass when the Lord has not commanded it? Well, no one, because unless God allows something to happen, people cannot make it happen, and they cannot command it to happen either. 38, is it not from the mouth of the Most High that woe and well-being proceed? God orders by his sovereign will to let good things and bad things both happen. Verse 39, and he has his reasons, by the way. 39, why should a living man complain? A man for the punishment of his sins. No one should complain when they are being punished for their sins. If they do, then it is clear that they are not sorry for what they have done. 40. Let us search out and examine our ways and turn back to the Lord. Instead of complaining about their punishment, a sinner should examine where they have gone wrong and repent. Verse 41. Let us lift our hearts and hands to God in heaven. Our hearts here refer to our minds. In other words, when we pray, we must mean what we say. Don't just go through the motions. 42. We have transgressed and rebelled. You have not pardoned. If we do not confess and repent of our bad things, then God will not forgive those bad things. It's the only reason he doesn't pardon, is because somebody doesn't want it and doesn't repent. 43, you have covered yourself with anger and pursued us. You have slain and not pitied. God will not pity sinners who will not repent. 44, you have covered yourself with a cloud that prayer should not pass through. God will not hear the prayers of one who refuses to repent. 45, you have made us an offscouring and refuse in the midst of the peoples. Sin made God's people as useless as rubbish. 46, all our enemies have opened their mouths against us. Fear and a snare have come upon us. Desolation and destruction. My eyes overflow with rivers of water for the destruction of the daughter of my people. God's people deserve to be destroyed, but it still tore at the prophet when he saw it happen. 49. My eyes flow and do not cease without interruption till the Lord from heaven looks down and sees. The prophet says, I'm going to cry until God takes notice of it. 51. My eyes bring suffering to my soul because of all the daughters of my city. The things Jeremiah saw made him sad. And if we love God and we love God's people, then their suffering will make us feel bad, even if it's suffering that they deserve because of their sin. That doesn't matter. 52. My enemies, without cause, hunted me down like a bird. They silenced my life in the pit and threw stones at me. The waters flowed over my head. I said, I am cut off. Jeremiah was treated badly because he was a good man. He was treated like he was a criminal for simply preaching the word of God. 55. I called on your name, O Lord, from the lowest pit. And, you know, sometimes the most effective prayers are often the prayers we pray when we are in big trouble. Jeremiah didn't only pray when he was in big trouble, but he certainly did pray when he was in big trouble, which was quite often. 56. You have heard my voice. Do not hide your ear from my sighing, from my cry for help. God answered some of the prophet's prayers, so he asked God to answer some more of his prayers. 57. You drew near on the day I called on you and said, do not fear. When our hearts are right and our prayers sincere, God will hear us right away. 58. O Lord, you have pleaded the case for my soul. You have redeemed my life. O Lord, you have seen how I am wronged. Judge my case. You have seen all their vengeance, all their schemes against me. Very important to keep in mind what the prophet is saying here. He reminds us all that God knows what's going on in our life. He knows all the bad, and if we love him, he will make everything okay in the end. 61. You have heard their reproach, O Lord, all their schemes against me, the lips of my enemies and their whisperings against me all the day. Look at their sitting down and their rising up. I am their taunting song. And so the prophet was mocked and slandered. He was lied about. It was just one form of bad treatment after another. And he deserved none of it. And so he says in verse 64, repay them, O Lord, according to the work of their hands. Give them a veiled heart. Your curse be upon them. In your anger, pursue and destroy them from under the heavens of the Lord. And so, instead of returning evil for evil, the man of God prays that God would do what he says he will do. God says, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. So Jeremiah prays for the Lord to give his enemies their just punishment. We'll pick it up in chapter 4 next time. Until then, so long, everyone.